Well, we're going to start today and continue on in our series, a verse that changed my life. And so I guess it's into the plurals for me because this is the second one I've done and it won't be the last. I think we're going to extend the series a month and draw some other voices in. For example, Janice Clausen is going to speak next week, which is really cool and very much looking forward to that. And this is for me, a second verse that changed my life. And this was a pretty profound change. Mary and Maury, you were in the middle of this story some point. So thank you for participating, even though you didn't know you had. And we're going to see what God wants to do and speak to us. I believe he is speaking today very prophetically. And by prophetic, I don't mean I'm going to tell you the future, although I am speaking into the future by the authority of God's word. And we're going to see that today together. Let's make a declaration right off the top today that we do every Sunday when we are together as a body and we exalt the name of Jesus and lift up the power of the word of God. We say this together, raise them high. This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who he says I am. I do what he says I have what he says I can have. I choose to open my heart to receive a word from God that changes my life forever. Amen and amen. All right. Let me get comfy here and launch in. One thing this series has produced in me, anyway, is a renewed marvel at the power of the word of God. I have just been blown away, and it clarifies and explains. And as I continue to move down the continuum of my life, I'm just regularly and deeply impacted when I look at what this can produce. By the way, this is not just ink on paper. Let's never make the mistake of just equating this with another religious book. It's not. This is the inspired Word of God. This is God speaking to you and to me and to our world and to anyone who has an ear. And I know a lot of people debate that, and that's fine, but much about life is solved when you hold this in your hand with a proper understanding of what you hold in your hand. It's not just ink on paper. It's far, far, far more than that. It is God speaking. His chosen method, there's many methods, but this is the primary method that he speaks to his children. And I thought we would pause just for a very brief second and remind ourselves about the power and possibility which we're going to see today in the Word of God. Isaiah 55, can we bring that verse up just before I get to the bulk of the Word itself? Isaiah 55 says, "The rain and snow come down from the heavens. They stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word." Same with the Bible. "I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want." God speaking. "It will accomplish all I want it to and will prosper everywhere I send it." There is not one word that is uttered from the word of God that will not bear fruit for whatever God has designed. You may be even sitting here today and tuning out right now, but the fact that you are here under the broadcast of the word of God means he is fully committed to producing what he intends in your life. You could leave this place and say, "That Jansen is an idiot. I don't trust anything he says." That's fine. If you heard the word of God, he's active. Despite what you think, you can run away from it. If it has been spoken or read by you or read over you, he is committed to produce in you everything that he intends. And when this whole thing is over, and I mean human existence on earth and however God's going to work those things out, it will be declared across the ages and into the future, and all heaven will know that God's word did not fail. There will not be one I dotted or one T crossed, the Bible says, that will not be completed. Not one. Not one. He's that committed to his word. This is powerful. Oh my goodness, this is amazing stuff. So when he says all he wants to make happen through this will happen, it will. Take it to the bank. Even though you might look at circumstances in your life to say, "Well, that could never happen," or "That's too far gone," or "This or that." Fair enough. If God said it, I don't know how he's going to do it, who he's going to use, what timing it's going to take, he will do what he has declared. Otherwise, he's not God. What's the point of listening if he half delivers? He has given us his word and his promise that his word is truth. And so we depend on that. And so because of the power and scope of the word of God, I have a verse for you today that has a unique application to you. That there are four applications for this one little passage I want to bring to you. And I'm going to read it to you in a second. And let's bring up our little statement there. Because of the power and scope of the prophetic word of God, this verse, what I'm going to read to you now, has unique application to multiple and numerous recipients. Too often we confine the word to my personal devotions. And maybe on a good day, maybe I come to church and we share it together. God has much more intended than that. I'm going to show you that today. And so our verse today, and some of you will recognize this as the theme verse of Riverside Church. And so when I say this is a verse that changed or altered my life, I ain't whistling Dixie. This verse changed my life comprehensively when I discovered this with the Lord's help. And I began to realize that this was the call. This was the message. This was the prophetic word spoken over this body. And you can be here one Sunday and never come back, and you're already a partial recipient, maybe not to the degree that God wants. He's already committed to do the thing that I'm about to read over you. This is what he's desiring for your life. So Jeremiah chapter 17, and I'll read 7 and 8, though the revelation of this came from me in verse 8 was the moment that I had with God. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. It's what we just did as we worshiped. We are declaring again that you are my hope and confidence. There's a blessing on you when you do that. And when you walk it out, we don't get it perfectly all the time, but that's what we're endeavoring to do. We've made this declaration. And here's the verse that leapt out to me. They, we, I, you are like a tree planted along a riverbank. Other places say riverside. With roots that reach deep into the water, the stream of God, the life stream of what God is doing, our roots run deep into that. Such trees, you, I, us, we're not bothered by the heat when the world turns up the burner. We're not bothered by that. Or worried by long months of drought when life gets hard. It doesn't concern us. Our leaves stay green. That speaks of fruitfulness. Speaks of health, of wholeness, of nurture, of nutrients. And they, you, I, we never stop producing fruit. We never stop producing fruit. That is what God spoke over this body. And I'll walk you through with four little applications, a verse that changed my life, Jeremiah 17, 8. Number one starts, and this is because it's my story, and you're welcome to listen in because it's got a ripple effect well past what I say about myself and how I learned this. So it's got application number one is to me personally. There are instances when the word is shockingly specific, where God speaks to you so clearly that it's unmistakable. I know there's times when we read and we're like, okay, I'm working it out. And is that for me? Is that for later? That's for somebody else. But there are times when the word about shouts in your face. And this was one of them for me. We began this journey of Riverside Church some 12 and a half years ago. 13 years ago, this didn't exist. And so we were given the commission to start this church. I had not given more than 15 minutes thought to senior pastoring in sum total. I just never gave it any thought. I was going to be an associate and do whatever I could do and work with young people and young adults, and I was happy doing that. And one day this opportunity showed up. And in the case of our church, Riverside Community Church, Jeremiah 17:8, it unexpectedly showed up in a moment that was so clear to me that I knew that this was going to be the walking out for as long as I was here and well past of what God's intention was in this place with this group of believers. So we came to this moment in time in which we were given the opportunity to start a Foursquare church. And so we said yes. We probably should have talked and prayed about it a little bit more, but we said yes nonetheless. And then we began to dream, like, okay, well, what would we call this place? And truth be told, my first choice was not Riverside. I wanted one of those cool church names. You know the ones, right? I actually went on the internet and I checked out cool church names. Riverside's not among them. And I'll read you a couple, and please hear my heart. If you know someone who goes to a church or pastored a church, I'm not trying to make fun. I'm just saying these are cooler than Riverside. That's okay. So please don't read that. I'm not making fun of anybody here. But I wanted a name like, and these are some of the, like Overflow Church, eh? Overflow, that's good. Recreate Church. New Globe Church, come on. New Globe. Encounter Church, that sounds something that you want to shoot for. Epic Venture Church. This is epic. It sounds corny when I say it. Oh, like, you're old. Don't say that. Hey, there's epic here. Clean Slate Church. Kinetic. Ooh, a little bit of Greek going there. Rhythm Church. The Cause. Oh. Propulsion. That's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be one of the cool churches. And then one morning, after we had had conversations with, I mentioned Mary and Maury. You might not remember this. You deeply influenced what God was doing in our hearts as we searched for a name. The old Starbucks that used to be where the Freshie is across from Save-On Foods down the road, I was there one morning early by myself. I was reading the Bible, and I was seeking the Lord, and I came across Jeremiah 17:8, and I read it, and it's like a bolt of electricity went through me. And I kid you not, I leapt up from my seat, and I had heard from God, and I knew what our name was. I knew why and how, and what it intended to produce in your life. 13 years later, 26 years later, for those people across the street who don't know Jesus, I already know what God has prophesied over you and over them. That's the power of the word. And I read that they are trees like a river that are planted by a riverbank. Oh, I jumped up. I knew it. I'd heard from God. We chose Riverside because it maybe a little cooler than Riverbank, but Riverside we chose with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat. That's for you. Such trees are not worried by long months of drought, no matter what the world is going through. We don't worry about that stuff. Why? Because our roots are deep into God. Our leaves stay green. You can expect health and wholeness in your home. Why? Because God prophesied your leaves will be green. And you will always produce fruit. Fruit with your neighbors. Fruit in your workplace. Fruit in your home. Fruit in your marriage. Fruit in your finances. Fruit in your health. Why? Because God said so. We are Riverside for a purpose. It's not just a name. Otherwise, as I said, I would have chose one of the cool ones. What shall we name it? The Lord declared this over us. Over me, over you individually, over us as a body, and over the world beyond that does not yet know that there is hope for life and more than hope, the promise of God. Amen? Amen. Secondly, second application, we're moving. Oh, we're moving today. Application number two is to you individually. So I have this verse. We saw it happen last week. Remember when Pastor Lori spoke? She's going through a tough time, and the Lord speaks to me, and I just send her a verse. Sent me a verse, I send to her, and the ripple begins. Here she was, years later, speaking to you, speaking in Alberta, worldwide world missions coordinator for us. Starts here, starts in me, out it goes. Anything you've ever heard from God is not meant to stay sequestered in your own heart. It's meant to be given away with hope to those who need. As ministers of the gospel, all of us. So starts this in this particular verse started with me, and now it's gone to you. It's gone to you individually. Because the church is made up of living stones, Understand this, that the church is not first and foremost. We've heard this 1,000 times before, but we must understand it. It's not a building. It's a mistake to say, this is my church. This is a building. This houses the church, but it's not the church. Nor is the church a program or a lump of programs. It's not dogma. It's not history. It's not an organization. It's not a club, though some of those things are all in play to varying degrees. It is first and foremost a body of people hand-selected by God to be part of His great story in a certain location. Made up of living stones, the Bible says. You might even think, you might even be here today, I'm on a search for a new church. I've come here, I'm checking it out. God bless you on that journey. It's not your decision, ultimately. It's God's decision. I sure hope if you're church shopping right now that you're including God in the process. Don't make your decision because I liked or didn't like the music. Pastor's too old, too young. They let women speak or don't. Don't make your decisions on those things. They're peripheral issues. They distract. The church is God's. It's Jesus' bride, and He loves it like crazy. And He hand selects living stones to participate in the building of it. You are not here by accident. God chose you to be here, no matter how long you stay. Just make sure you get your measuring stick right, that you're looking for the right things, because God is building His church with living stones. And though you weren't present, you didn't get to vote. You weren't here on the first Sunday when we announced what our name was going to be. This is nonetheless what the Lord declares with confident intent over you, though He spoke it to me in the Starbucks all those years ago. Of course, to be understood by faith, but please, 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 my dear brothers and sisters, do not allow circumstance to crowd out or disqualify what God has spoken over you. When He says that you, put your name in the blank, you, Gord Morin, you are like a tree planted by the riverside, and your roots go deep down into the river of God, and your leaves will never grow green, and you don't worry about drought because God's your provider. Spoken over you. Don't be ashamed of doing that. Don't be nervous to do that. Oh, I'm a new Christian. Oh, I'm not even a Christian. I haven't made the decision yet. God's speaking this over you. And we look at that verse that if anything in you triggers and says, yes, I want to be that, you're in the right place. This is where you're supposed to be, to hear the word of the Lord spoken over you. This is His fullest intent for your life. And I don't care how brown your leaves have been historically, what withered fruit you have produced to this point in your life, how messed up your family is, how broken your circumstance is, how little is in your bank account. Nonetheless, God declares over you, you are like a tree by the riverside. That's you. It's you. It's you. It's me. It's us. So it starts with me personally, and it transfers to you individually. Application number 3. To us corporately. That's the usness of this place. Us together. We are simply put, we are better together. I'm going to share a verse with you now. I don't think I've ever preached from this. I've read it hundreds of times before, but I don't think I've ever preached. So let's give it a try. Let's bring up Romans 11. Thank you so much. And you Gentiles, that's just simple people who don't know God, and that was outside of the Jewish faith at that point. Don't know God, don't know Jesus. Who were branches from a wild olive tree have been grafted in. We're going to talk about grafting today. So now you also receive the blessing God has promised Abraham and his children, sharing in the rich nourishment from the root of God's special olive tree. That's exactly the same illustration as Jeremiah 17:8, by the way. This grafting in. You used to be outside, but God, by His love and grace, has grafted you in. In fact, interesting, we don't need to look it up, but the verse right before that passage I read, Jeremiah 17:7-8, verse 6 gives us a contrast. And this speaks of a person that does not yet know God. I'll just read it to you. This is what the Lord said. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. Look at the metaphors here about agriculture and growing and plants and health and all these things. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. They live in the barren wilderness in an uninhabited salty land. But, next verse, blessed are those who trust in the Lord, made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along the riverside with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by heat, worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stayed green. They never stop producing fruit. Wow. And so God does this remarkable thing that we were born apart from God. Every human being is born apart from God. Doesn't matter what your family of origin, what your family's faith structure was. Simply by the DNA of being born a human being into a fallen world, we are like stunted shrubs in the desert. But God in his love draws us in and grafts this little withered branch into the fruitfulness, into the stalk, into the tree of who he is, and invites us in to share in his life, the life flow of God. You thought it was an accident that we say, some people chuckle sometimes, we say, get in the flow at Riverside. We're talking about the flow of the life of God. That's why we say that. God in his miraculous love takes these stunted little shrubs of which we were all part and lovingly grafts them in into the fruit-producing vine. And says, now let's start to grow as my life flows into you, as my nourishment flows into you, as my provision flows into you, as everything Almighty Eternal God is begins to flow into you and your life. Can I get an amen in the house? Come on. Wow. That's the miracle of the church. God attaches us to his life, all of us. It's a mistake to view the church as a benign entity. Oh, there I come, and sometimes I like it, sometimes I don't. We're missing the point if we think that way. And don't misread any church invitation to join things as simply an invitation so you're not lonely on a Wednesday night because there's nothing good on TV. The programs, the events, the missions, the service, the giving is simply a human attempt to assist the great gardener with the process of building people into the life flow of what God is doing. So when we say get into the flow, get attached. Get attached. I don't care if it's through a youth or young adult program, whether it's through a discipleship course that I'm going to start on Tuesday nights on February the 6th, a marriage event that we're having up on February 3rd coming up, a women's event, a men's event. 80 guys showed up last weekend to be part of a men's event. Why? To get rooted, to get connected to God. That's what he's talking about. And I understand, please, I've done this a long time. I understand that there is in some a resistance to connecting, a suspicion of authority and motives. I understand that. An insistence on isolation unhealthily in some cases, a reluctance to partner. I understand that. And I give tremendous grace for those who have been hurt by the structure of the church at some point in their lives and have the courage to come back and try again. I honor you on your journey. And as a past longtime pastor, I know that I have been part of that hurt on occasion. I know there are people who aren't here today that would trace back their hurt to me. I know that. And I honor them on their journey. And to the best of my ability, I apologize if I've ever hurt people. And I know I have. But I also know, and so for some, it's extremely difficult to trust again. I understand that. But I also know that I too have been hurt by the church. And I would suggest humbly, I've had more chances to be hurt than you have. I probably get hurt every week or disappointed every week. And yet, because of what God has declared, I make a choice to come back and make sure that I stay connected to the life flow. Because at the end of the day, the church is not the solution. God is. This is just his representative with all its brokenness, all its people, it's us. he does this remarkable thing and makes this remarkable promise. Application number three is to us corporately. Application number four, to them collectively. On opening Sunday, April 28th, 2019, in this building, I sat in my office not knowing what to expect, equal parts exhausted as anyone. I get a nod from David over there and from others who were involved. Equal parts exhausted and exhilarated. And I absentmindedly gazed out the window of my office to the intersection that's just over here. Open in front of me was my Bible, and it was open at Isaiah chapter 2. And as I kind of looked out the window, this is what the Lord said to me and spoke to me. In the last days, pay attention. The mountain of the Lord's house will be the highest of all, the Lord's house. There's going to be something that causes people to look for hope and help to the church, the mountain of the Lord, Lord's house. The most important place on earth, in fact. It will be raised above all other hills. This is the church. And people from all over the world will stream there to worship. That's what God is doing presently and what he's going to do. And as I sat in my office and I looked and I saw all, and I know it was opening Sunday, so there was a heightened attendance. Everyone had watched the building being built for a year and a half. They wanted to see what it was like. I get that. And so we were overfull with people. Many of, you know, at this point have not come back. Some will. I'm believing for all of that stuff and more. But I read that and I knew the Lord was speaking to me about the destiny of us. That we are going to be that place. That we are going to be viewed by the community. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but we are going to be viewed by people who are streaming here because they know intuitively that this parish church is a place of refuge. It's a place of provision. It's a place of health. It's a place of hope. It's a place of grace. And I know that's already going to happen. And I also already know that people from all over the world are going to be here. You look back, if you've been at church for any length of time, you look at the North American church, even 20 years ago, we were so Caucasian, it was embarrassing. And if somebody from a different or foreign land who didn't speak English perfectly walked in, we hardly knew what to do with ourselves. I'm so grateful for this verse prophetically walking itself out in real time. I'm going to take a risk right now. Please don't misread this, what I'm about to do here, as any sort of comment on it. I'm curious, just to build our faith. If you are here and you were born somewhere other than Canada, would you raise your hand so we can see what God is doing? Hi, stand up even. If you were born somewhere other than Canada, yes, 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 yes. And people from all over the world will stream to the church because it's them. Thank you so much for standing up. That is incredible. It's exactly what he said. It's exactly what he said was going to happen. This is incredible. You see the expanding ripple effect of the Word of God? Dopey little frightened pastor sitting in a Starbucks 6:30 in the morning. Psst. You're going to be like a Riverside. Planted in the water. Wow. But not just you. You. And you. And you. Don't disqualify you. You are destined by the power and authority of God's word to be that tree. Healthy, producing fruit, roots deep into God. Astonishing. But not just you, individuals, us. That's who we are. That's the power of us. All these individuals walking out a church that is clear in its vision and its mission and its identity, that's why we're Riverside. Because if it had been up to the old guy up front there, we would have had one of them cool names, but we don't, because we're Riverside, because God said this is who you are, because he's fully intent on doing it. And we're almost done for the day, but I want to just to drive this home. This hangs in my office. I'm just going to go off on a tangent. I won't. This is from my dad. He passed away 12 years ago. And dad was a man of few words. And he wanted to bless his two sons. My brother Wayne is not here today. And so he wrote us what in effect is his version of a bar mitzvah, a father's blessing over his children, though it was much later in life than a Jewish bar mitzvah is generally commissioned. And he wrote this before Riverside was a glimmer in anyone's eye, before it had been named, before I was a senior pastor. This is what he wrote to me. Delight yourself in his ways, Terry, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in his word, for his word is a refreshing living stream. And then he said, put your roots deep down at the edge of that stream. I'm getting goosebumps right now. This is the power of the prophetic word of God when spoken through someone who is credible and deeply rooted themselves. This was said about a Riverside that wasn't even named or dreamed of. And in fact, it was so far out of the radar range of what I was paying attention to that when this was given to me on a Thanksgiving Sunday, the year before my dad passed away, the following June, I was so unaware of it. And I know I hurt my dad's feelings unintentionally when this happened. I left it on my dinner plate and went home without it. Then it got buried in a stack of papers. And after dad's passing, as we were going through his stuff, after Riverside was Riverside and we had begun the journey, and I read about roots going down deep at the edge of that stream. So you will be, Terry, as a living tree. That's not just for me from my dad. That's to me from the Lord. That's to you from the Lord. This is your destiny. This is what he's created for you. That is his greatest pleasure, is to see you be the fulfillment of his word. That gives God greater satisfaction than anything. For you to simply be grafted into what he wants to do. I'm ready to close. We're going to go to communion. But just before we do, I'd like to ask a question in closing. If you have never accepted Jesus as your Savior, you never made that decision to be grafted in, and some of that resonates with you, there have been moments in your life when you feel like, you know what, I am that shrub in the desert. I'm trying my best, but it's just barren. It's not producing fruit in life like I had hoped. I'm discouraged with my life. And this is for you too. The Lord is inviting you in, and by the imagery of a grafting process says, I want to take your life and I want to connect you to me so my lifeblood flows through you. My life, everything about me is now yours. That's what becoming a Christian means, that you get to partner with God and walk in what he has intended for you all along. And so I ask you with all friendship and humility, if you're here today and you would like to ask Jesus to be your Savior and be grafted into the things of God, that river of God where there is no thirst, there is no drought, there's no fear of long, hot months, it's okay, God's got your back. If you'd like to make that decision right now, can you indicate that by just raising your hand so I can pray for you? Is there anybody here today that wants to make that decision? Anybody? Just wait for a sec. It's all right. By the way, I'm aware that there are, but we don't do pressure here. We just do genuine and honest. Thank you so much. I see that hand. Bless you, sweetheart. I really appreciate that. Anybody else? You can put your hand down. Father, I thank you for this divine moment, and that's what it is. A moment in which the truth of the Word of God touches a heart, touches a life, and all of a sudden things that were unclear become clear. And hope is ushered into perhaps a dry and barren life. Father, I pray for the hand that was raised today. I pray for others who are considering and just not quite there yet. That's all right. I pray that in your time, in your way, that you would safely and gently, confidently usher into these people's lives your truth. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for the promise of Scripture that we are like trees planted along a riverside, with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. I pronounce that blessing in the name of Jesus over every person here with the authority of the Word of God. Receive deeply, drink deeply, thirsty ones. Drink deeply at the river of God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.